1-800-273-5 of the United States of America. Into the Republic for which it stands. One nation.
All right. Is everybody ready?
High five somebody and say indivisible. That's a three-syllable word. That's a big word. One more time. Indivisible. All right. Everybody okay this morning? I hope y'all are ready because I'm fired up. If y'all ain't ready, y'all got to talk to me today. All right? Y'all got to help me out. Y'all going to help me out today? Okay. I hear some. Casey's got my back. We're good. I hear some people that's ready to go. So I don't know about you, but... Man, did everybody have a good 4th? It's probably the best. How did everybody have a good 4th? Time stamping. The 4th of July. Were we good? I heard one yes. How about everybody else? Online, give us a 5 if you had a good 4th. Tough crowd. Silence. Someone shot fireworks late last night. I can tell. That's what it was. It's okay. It's okay. So over these past few weeks, we've been in this series called Under God. And man, what a crazy past few weeks. We started talking about being one nation. Last week, we had Alex Hamby here talking about being under God. This week, we're going to continue in the Pledge of Allegiance with this thing called indivisible. Indivisible. So, how many folks knew that I'm a nerd? Few folks. This is great. So, we're going to dive into this word here in a little bit, but if you remember, as we're building up to this series, I talked to you about, hey, like, this is patriotism. This is a great time of year. Like, all of a sudden, we had some primaries. It's about to be election season. It's about to be football season. It's baseball season. Basketball just wrapped up. If you're a World Cup fan, World Cup's on. They're getting in, continuing on. Like, wherever you are, like, we get to this moment. We can't celebrate the World Cup in America this year. Sorry, we didn't qualify. But we like to celebrate America this time of year. Like, it's just part of it. But so many times in celebrating America, where we can get stuck is our politics shape our faith, right? Like, we've laid the groundwork all the way through. Like, our politics have shaped our faith instead of our faith shaping our politics. So many times we can get stuck in that. Like, we say, because I'm a Democrat, therefore God loves me this way. Or because I'm a Republican, therefore God loves me this way. Or because I'm independent, God loves me this way. Or I'm libertarian, God loves me this way. Or whatever, war hawk or far right, far left, I don't know. I got to remember which one's left, the one that makes an L. Like, I got to remember all those things, right? Like, we think that because we are this political affiliation, then God has a viewpoint of us. And it doesn't. And last week, if I could really sum it up, like Alex was talking about under God, but realistically, we could choose between being under God or under culture, right? Like, if we could look at it, we could say we're either under God or under culture. And so this week, we're going to continue in this thing called indivisible. So I'm going to build up to this nerd thing again. How many folks remember prime numbers? Yes, everybody's excited about that, right? Like, when we talk about something being indivisible, it can't be divided or separated anymore, right? Like, I don't know if you remember Finding Roots. I don't know if anybody played with an abacus or if you just cheated and used your calculator, whatever it was. Like, so many times in life, we got to an indivisible number when we were breaking numbers down, right? Like, it couldn't be broke down anymore and always got to the prime numbers when we did that, right? Like, the prime numbers helped us get there, right? Well, the same thing could be said as we go through in our Pledge of Allegiance. We have this thing called indivisible. So what is the state of our country right now? Would you say we're indivisible? Do we feel indivisible? Like, as I was growing up so many times in school, like, we talked about the state of America. And when I was growing up, I'm dating myself, but it's okay. Not dating myself. That's a different series. I'm aging myself right now. I'm aging myself to say, like, here in America, like, when I was growing up, I always heard of the melting pot. Do folks remember that? Like, the melting pot. America was called the melting pot, especially in the 1900s. Back so long ago, in the 1900s, we were called a melting pot. Well, when I was in school, I kept hearing how America was changing from the melting pot to the salad bowl. Individualism had risen. Like, we were inside the same thing, and we still made this great, tasty treat that, you know, salad. Like, lettuce, tomato, and twice fried chicken and French fries and fried onions on top of it because it's healthy, right? Like it's taco salad, right? Like it's right, right? Like we became like this thing, this healthy thing, but really we became a salad bowl. So individual. Like we weren't blended together like we were in the melting pot. We were each our individual self, and we were still inside of this bowl, and we were called Americans. And now I just feel like we're in a lunchroom fight, right? Like there are two people on both sides. It's who can get the least amount of pie in their face to go forward, right? Like that's what it's all about. And we can get stuck there. Well, how many folks believe God works in weird ways? One, two, man. Jesus, you are mine. We just sang about it. Like, God works and he lines everything up. And I'm going to share some things with you this week. But one of the things as I was getting ready for this is it made me think, like, you're about to see some loose change on the screen. Hopefully here in a moment. Maybe you won't. If you don't, that's okay. But if you go shopping at one four-letter word store, you know that there's a quarter you use to get a shopping cart, right? And so at this store called Aldi, I literally use this quarter to get a card every time, right? And I was getting ready for this message, and I was shopping this week. I started looking at this quarter, and it brought me back to my nerdy days. And you can't really see this loose change. You can't really see all of it in there. But there's one phrase that America's motto has been known by all the way through. E pluribus unum. Didn't know you were going to get Latin today, right? E pluribus unum. Has anybody ever heard that? Does anybody remember that? And like it's all over our coins. It's all over our change. I'm not going, everybody probably looked online and said, he said, what does loose change have to do with church? So he's going to talk about in God we trust, threw you for a loop there. E pluribus unum means out of many, one. Out of many, one. Out of many, one. It made me think about the state of the country, and if we're in a lunchroom fight and it feels like it's always about whose side are you on, and then I'm going to pick this side and load up as much junk as I can to throw at you, right? Like that's the state of where we are. Jesus was reminding me as I was getting ready for it this week, Tyler, that's my church is the same boat. The division among my church is why the USA is divided. Like, that's where we are as a church, guys. Like, it's so fractured. It's this denomination versus that denomination. This person, this church plays electric guitar and bass, and this church only plays organ and piano, and this church sings hymns, and this church is laid back, and this church is all dressed up and ready to go. This church has one cultural makeup. This other church has another. And, like, we're so divided as a church, and we wonder why our nation is. But I wonder if our founding fathers were onto something. You know, out of many, one. I wonder if we operated that way as the church, how much different the world around us would look. And that's what I want to have the groundwork for today is this. Like, our nation is fractured because maybe the church is fractured. And we're going to dive into that as we dive into Ephesians. And I say this every week. If you're following with us online, we're about to dive into the Word. But if you're following us online or you have your phone and you don't have a Bible with you, if you'll pull out your phone, you can go to the Bible app. And if you go to the Bible app on YouVersion, some folks know it as YouVersion, but the Bible app, you can find us on there. All of the Scripture is there, what we're going to walk through today. It's got a place for you to take notes, and it's something that you can go back to. And so that way you can follow step by step what we're doing as we go. So, cheat sheet for the test. You can follow on the Bible app. You'll find us there in the events, Vine Church. You'll be able to see that as we go. So here's what I want to tell you. I'm going to share with you some experiences I got to walk through this week outside of grocery shopping, unless you expected my grocery list, and then you would probably say, man, we got to work on that. Whatever that is, right? Like, I'm going to share some things with you as we get ready for this week, but if you're getting in your Bible, go ahead and go to Ephesians 4, and that'll help you set up where we're going. Ephesians 4 is going to set up where we're going. So Ephesians 4 is where we're going to set up where we're going. And this week, I'm just going to be real with you. This isn't something, I'm not going to be up here. This is an opportunity for me to tell you what to do, and we'll dive into what that looks like in the moment. But Jesus works on me too. This week, I had someone reach out to me, realistically of a different faith, but claims to be of the same faith. And, you know, It was, of all days, on Independence Day that this person reached out to me. And I knew where they were coming from the moment that I first received the reach out about what we're doing, about the gospel that we preach here at the Vine Church, that is the true gospel, and it is the truth. And this person, just this past week, just, man, they just railed me. Like, they just, I didn't feel like Jesus. You ever been there? Like, somebody tells you something and tells you you're wrong, but you've experienced Jesus in your life, and you know the hope that comes from that, and you just want that for them so bad, but they can't see it. They can't see it. And so as I was getting ready for that, of all things and all times, God lining that up this week, I started this conversation off very gently, and man, it went from that. I guarantee you there are 40 pages of emails I got back from this person, back and forth, and myself. And Jesus reminded me in that moment about what I'm getting to talk about today, about what we're talking about today in this indivisible time, and how the church can be fractured, and how we can be thrown to and fro in our faith. But we are all rallying around one thing, and that is the gospel. But Jesus is still working on me and being that to people, because I just want to get behind my debate stand, you know. Or as we saw in the last big election, you know, you follow people around as they talk. I digress. But as you do that, right, like it was one of those things. And I just wanted to be in a debate, and it's not a debate. It's not a debate. When we're talking about the gospel, it's more than a debate. It's life or death. And so this week, as I was getting ready and talking about indivisible, that's where God had me. So I'm putting all my cards on the table. If you are taking notes right now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the first point. Now, this is a little weird, but I'm going to tell you the first point. This thing called indivisible, to me, I'm going to go at it a different way. And the first point is we are made for unity. So get to Ephesians 4, and we're going to talk about being, we are made for unity. We are made for unity. So have you ever just watched sports? Like, there are some individual sports that you can do, but there's something about team sports, right? Like, you can tell a good team when they go out on the field, right? Like, you can tell a good team most of the time. It doesn't mean championships. You can do all that. Yes, we can roll there. But you can tell a good team, right? And there's just something about being want to be a part of a good team, right? Like, that's something we want. We yearn to have people in our life. We yearn to have more in our life. And so that's where we are when we talk about indivisible, is I wonder if so many times in our life we're yearning to have more people in our life, but we continually push them away. That example I was telling you about earlier this week, like, I understood in this moment when I'm going back and forth with this person that instead of inviting this person in, I was actually pushing them away, going on the defensive on something that I shouldn't be going on the defensive for, because Jesus has already done it all, right? Like, I wonder if we're that way in our life. So many times we can get stuck that we forget we're made for unity because we're trying to be so individualistic that we forget that we need each other. We need each other. So that's where Paul is here. If you're in Ephesians 4, this is where Paul is here. So lay the groundwork here. I'm going to be nerdy here for a minute, so hang in here with me. First three chapters of Ephesians are about your relationship with Christ, okay? Your relationship with Christ. The last three chapters, he's writing about your behavior. So many times, if you want to have a good life, it's change your behavior, right? You know, change your behavior. Or if you're on apartments.com, you change your outlook, you change your behavior, whatever, change your life, right? Like, so many times you want to be there. Like, you think you got to change your behavior first, and then you can be in this relationship with Jesus. Like, if I change my behavior, then I'm okay, right? Like, if I think better, I look better, I talk better, I walk better, then I'm okay. And see, Paul understands this because he's writing it to this church in Ephesus, and this church is a Gentile church, and Paul is writing this from prison as we lay the groundwork. Paul's writing this from prison. Actually, where he is in prison is he is probably in stocks. He's probably uncomfortable. He's all jacked up. His back isn't in alignment, if you know. Shout out. His back isn't in alignment. We're ready to go. Like, if you know, like, he doesn't have all that together. He's in an uncomfortable position, and guess where he's at? In the prison. And guess what happens in the prison in Roman times? All of the city sewage collects there. Smells great. Like, isn't that great? Wouldn't you love to be there? And Paul in this moment is writing these letters, and he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus at this time. And the reason I want to tell you that is look what he starts out in Ephesians 4, verse 1. I love how Paul starts this out, because this is where Jesus smacked me in the face when he's reminding me about how we are made for unity. Paul starts out this way. He says this. As a prisoner for the Lord. As a prisoner for the Lord. So how many of you in the crazy midst of your circumstance would say a prisoner for the Lord? You would say you are a prisoner for the Lord. Like if I was Paul, I would be dropping bombs against the Roman Empire. Like I would just be like, I'm a prisoner of these fools. They done locked me up for the gospel. This is the stupidest thing. You should smell this place. They don't have good food. I seriously try to order out all the time. It doesn't work out. There are rats eating at me constantly. This place smells. What in the world is this city eating? Because they have a problem. I smell it daily. Like I would be crazy. I would be selling people out. I would be in this moment where I would be like, yeah, I'm a prisoner for the Lord, but Rome's done locked me up. This is crazy. I can't do anything. Jesus, do you see how they treat me? Jesus, do you see how they paint me in a corner? That's where it was this week, right? Jesus, do you see how these people are accusing you and they've painted me in a corner? Like, I've got to, it's fight or flight. Like, I've got to go, right? But no, Paul, and his awesomeness, says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Remember, we are made for unity. We're made for unity. So what is this calling that we have received? It goes on in verse 2 to say, be completely humble and gentle. Humble and gentle. Those are things I can work on. Sometimes being gentle is the hardest thing in the world, right? Like being humble can be really hard too. Like being humble means that I put others above myself. Like I stand up front and I'm here to serve others. It's not about me, it's not about my name, but it's about the name of Jesus. Like so many times in our life, like can't it be about ourselves and we just want to be right and it's about who's right or wrong? We get in the lunchroom sides and we say, I'm not moving because I don't like you, and they say, well, I'm not moving because I don't like you. And like you just sit there and it's the middle school dance, and then you get to the last song and you realize how much fun you missed out on when the guys and girls finally, the one girl and guy takes the chance, right? Be humble and gentle. Paul goes on to say, be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Look over that one more time. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. As I stand here today, I wish I could tell you I've done that so perfect. I wish I could just check that off my list. Like, I wish I could say, man, I was so patient on my way in this morning to get set up for church. I was so patient. I may or may not have honked the horn. I didn't. Don't worry about it. I did. But say I did. I may have been like, this red light sucks. Jesus, you know where I got to go. Like, I might have been in that moment, right? Like, I might have been stuck. I wish I could tell you I was patient. I wish I could say I was bearing one another in love on the way here and not taking up two lanes. If you know, you know. If you follow behind, you know. If I said I was taking up two lanes or I said I was doing that, like I wish I could tell you as your pastor I had it all together, but the beauty of where all of us are together in this unity is none of us can check all these boxes off. It's something that we're all a work in progress on. We're all a work in progress on that. Like I definitely could use more humility. I definitely could be more gentle. Patience, isn't that something that's in the hospital? Like, something like that. Like, bearing one another in love. Like, so many times, what do I got to bear? I'm bearing my cross, Jesus. I ain't got to love them. You done did it, right? Like, so many times don't we feel that way? But I love what Paul says. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He goes on to say this. And this is what I love. And this is where we are when we talk about this unity. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are made for diversity. We're made for diversity. So Paul here is saying there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all. You know, in my craziness this week, I got to hear this verse taken out of context. It's crazy. I just wanted to fight. I just wanted to fight on it. One body, one Lord, one baptism. I mean, I hear those things a lot, and I hear that that can be twisted. And what Paul is talking about here and where we are is this one body together, the church, not fractured. So today at the YMCA where we get to meet, there are actually three churches that meet. One church, but three different bodies, three different houses of worship. Across the world right now, there are churches that have five or six churches that meet in one location. And how blessed and how awesome is that? Like, it isn't about the sign on the side of the road. It isn't about how big the steeple is. It isn't about how many programs or radio shows that we're on. Like, it isn't that. It's about being one body around the hope that is the true gospel. And that's Christ and Christ crucified. That's what we are rallying around. That's who we are. And all of us are made for unity. All of us are made for each other. We need each other because we're one body. So there's someone in the house today that can tell you some things on your body you may think aren't important. Like, say, your toe. You may think your toe ain't important till you break one and you realize how important that thing is, because it hurts like the Dickens, right? Like, it hurts like crazy. Like, it's one of those things that can hurt like crazy. Like, you may not think your thumb means a lot. Like, who needs opposable thumbs? Yeah, talk to the rest of the mammal kingdom, right? Like, most of them don't have opposable thumbs. Like, right? Like, all these things, like, we got opposable thumbs. Like, you think these parts of the body don't matter. Like, how important is the nose? It just sneezes and runs, right? But man, it smells, it affects your taste, it does all these things. And so you think, hey, my part in the body doesn't matter, and I'm not that important, and nobody sees me, and nobody looks at what I do, and nobody cares about what I do, and nobody does anything. Nobody sees how I work. Nobody sees what I do, and hey, I get caught in this trap all the time. Nobody cares. My part in the body doesn't matter. But it does, because we need each other. I need that broke toe to be here. Like, I need that broke toe. That broke toe matters. It changes. It changes the rest of the body and how it reacts, but we all need each other. We need the thumbs. We need the ears. We need everything. And it's about us being unified with Jesus as the head that makes all the difference in the world. But so many times we worry about our part, because maybe we think we're the stinky one. Paul's stuck in the stinky part right here. He's in a prison. He's still reminding these people that, even though I'm in chains, remember what part of the body you are. Remember that. It matters. It matters. You may think you're just the armpit and it don't matter, but without that armpit, yes, thank the Lord for deodorant. But without that armpit, you're not attached to the arm. You can't carry things. You can't put your hand out and walk step by step with somebody through whatever they're walking through. So many times as a church, we can get stuck in that. So many times in the church, I can worry about the cultural makeup of the church. I can worry about what it looks like. I can worry about what song did they play. Did you hear that opening song? He messed that up. I can't go there. You heard what they played first, right? Like, it matters. We're going to be worshiping in glory forever. It doesn't matter. What matters is us unified together as one. Like your three musketeers, get together as one, right? Like, let's go. We got to be unified. Stop fighting. Because here's what the world sees. The world sees a country divided. And they look at the church and they see the same thing. And they're disgusted with both. And we have something that the United States can't offer. The hope of the gospel. And if we can't get it together, how in the world can we expect our country? How in the world can we expect the rest of the world to get it together if we can't be one together? That's what Paul's reminding us here. But here's the thing. Here's this other word in my nerdiness. How many of us know what uniformity is? Right? Now, is there a difference between unity and uniformity? Absolutely. But how many of us get confused with that? Because unified means you look like me, you talk like me, you walk like me, you speak like me. We say the same words all the time. We speak the same language. Like, we dress the same way. Fabulous. Like, we dress everything. We do everything together, right? Like, it's all together. Like that's who we are. We understand that's uniformity. That's not what the body of Christ is called to be. The body of Christ is called to be unified. I mean, different denominations, speaking out of different translations, like maybe it's KJV, NKJV, dare I say NIV 84? Oh my goodness, I don't know. Could we go to ESV or NLT? Oh, they preach from the Message. Like, at that moment in time, it takes those things so many times to reach the world. And that's the whole point of why we're here. Didn't Jesus tell us that that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to go reach the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them all that I have taught you. And lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age, right? Like I'm with you always. Like, I'm going to be here with you. Like, you are God's vessel to which he shares his love to the rest of the world. If that doesn't blow your mind, that's what blows my mind. So this moment when I'm fighting back and forth with this person that I feel is in uniformity, that's going back and forth with me instead of unity, I forget that I'm God's vessel to the world for his love. It's not about proving right or wrong, just about loving people right where they are. And see, a unified church and a unified body will understand that God gives us grace for our place. God's in this moment, and the place that we're in, he's given us the grace to be in. Even when we feel like we're fighting it and we feel like it's crazy, like there is a reason and a purpose for us to be in the place that each and every one of us are in, but we can get stuck because we forget that God's given us grace for this place so that we can be his love to those around us. I'm thankful for people in my life that understood that God gave them grace for the place that they're in. You know, I wonder if we understand that, like, as the church, like, I wonder if we get to a place that we understand and live God's grace better, that maybe we stop competing. Imagine that. Imagine that, church. Maybe it's not about the amount of butts you put in seats. Maybe it's not about the campuses that you open up. Maybe it's not about the version you speak to, the makeup. Even though heaven's going to be beautiful, I believe in a multicultural church. Hey, at the Vine Church, that's what we're called to be. Come on, come hang out with us. Like, I want you to know, maybe that's where we can get stuck. Because if we understand that God's given us grace for this place, we'll stop competing and comparing ourselves with each other. Because here's what that does. When I compete and compare myself with the church down the road, the church that's meeting upstairs, the church that's meeting across the way, the church that's meeting on Saturday night instead of Sunday, the church that met this week on Thursday instead of Sunday, with Jesus being the center, being the one true Lord and Savior of the world, the gospel being the center of the message and everything that they do. When I start comparing and competing, and I start looking at myself compared to them, I lose every bit of identity of who I'm supposed to be inside of this body of Christ. Like, isn't that where we get? Like, if you've looked at a good team sport, like, hey, so I'm sorry, I played football, so we'll talk about football. So I played center, and I played offensive line, right? Like, so if I, as a center on the offensive line, am worried about how good the wide receiver looks and how great his route running is, am I a good teammate? Probably not. Silence, sorry. So if I'm looking at someone else on the field and I worry about what they're doing and not about what I'm doing, am I a good teammate? Absolutely not, because I'm competing and comparing myself. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't hold each other accountable. Don't get me wrong. We're called to hold each other accountable. What it means is this, like, I'm not worried about uniformity. I'm worried about being individual and who God's made me to be inside this body of Christ. And how much freedom is that? If you can't experience freedom in being who God's called you to be, then that's what the world is trying to get right, and they've missed it. Like, isn't that what the world hears all the time? Isn't that what we hear all the time? Be who you were made to be. Yet in the church, we say, nope. You got to read this. Read it this way. You got to do it this way. You got to follow this 12-step program. You got to figure all this out. Like, it's got to be this formula and this way, right? Don't we get stuck there? I'm so glad that Jesus had people in my life that understood there was grace for the place that they were in and that they showed his love to me. Because I wouldn't know who Jesus is without it. Man, would I be stuck. But in the church, we get stuck there. We get stuck thinking about that. Like I said, like I said, this week, as a pastor, I wish I could tell you I had it all together. I don't. Jesus is still working on me. Praise God he is, because I got a long way to go. I ain't where I used to be by his grace, but I got a long way to go. Thank God. Where we can be so many times inside the church and where we can get stuck is we start comparing ourselves. And you know, that's what the enemy loves to do. Because if I'm worried about my teammate and what they're doing, how they play defense and not offense, or how they run a certain route, or they play a certain way, or they do a certain thing more than I am, then all of a sudden I'm stuck and they're stuck. And it's a lunchroom fight. And all of a sudden, how effective can we be? See, that's the one thing the enemy knows he can come against us to do, is he'll try to get us comparing and competing with each other. Because if we compare and compete with each other, we definitely can't make a difference in the world. Because we're so worried about talking about what we're against instead of what we're for, that we miss the whole point of it. And so for us, and we understand that we are made for unity, what I want us to talk about here is this, like, when we are united, we are unstoppable. Well, we are e pluribus unum, out of many one. Woke the sleeping giant, right? World War II champs, two times running, right? Like, you've woke them up as one. If the church would rise as one, with the gospel being the center, nothing will stop us. The true gospel. Not talking about false doctrine here. I'm talking about Christ. Christ crucified. He died for our sins. He lived the life we couldn't live. He rose again on the third day. If we rally around that and we bring that to the world, nothing else, not our denominational talk, not about Protestant, Catholic, not about any of that. If we stop and we have the gospel at the center of everything we do, we will be unstoppable. Yet I get stuck. Did they go to confession today? I don't know. That's none of my business. That's between them and Jesus. But they know who Jesus is, and they believe that because they've received by faith that he is who he says he is. And what the world is doing is it's trying to unite as one against the church. And as the church, we've let it happen. And me personally, we've all let it happen. And it's time to come together as one. Because if we come together as one, it isn't about three churches in one location. It's about one church reaching a city with the hope of the gospel, reaching the world with the hope of the gospel. And when we can rally around that message, all of a sudden our differences don't matter. The little things don't bother us. The crazy things don't bother us then, right? Like, the way we dress don't bother us. The way we talk don't bother us. The songs we play don't bother us. It's all of a sudden, did you see what Jesus did? Like, can you believe what he did? How he changed? I can tell you what he's changed in me. Did you see what he did inside of this place? Like, all of a sudden, this place where we get to meet, where churches have failed, all of a sudden, there are three churches at once in the same place. Look what Jesus is doing. How crazy can that be? Instead, it could be, oh, man, here we go again. Here's another one, and another one, and another one. We can get stuck. So what we've got to do is we've got to stay unified. No, it's 11. I ain't even started barely the first, but we're going to keep going. Hang on. Y'all going to have to listen faster because I'm struggling here. Y'all going to have to listen faster. We're going to have to keep going. Verse 7. Excuse me. We'll read it this way. I'm just kidding. We won't. Verse 7. But to each one his grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. This is what it says. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Don't get lost in that. Don't get lost in what that happens. We can go in. There's doctrinal things you can get lost in that. There's really cool studies. We'll actually talk about that a little bit at Greenhouse Gathering. So if you're interested, I'm going to get a shameless plug in here. Come hang out with us, and we'll talk about what that means on Thursday night. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended to higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Thursday night Greenhouse Gathering. Dive into that. Continuing on, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, here we go, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and until we all reach the unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness in Christ. I got excited there, sorry. All of us unified together as one to attain the full measure that is Christ. So all of us being unified can actually experience Christ more than all of us being apart. How crazy is that? Can you believe that? Married couples, you know who God is even more because you're together, right? Like, you choose to love one another more than anything else, right? Like, even when you don't want to get up, even when they get on your nerves and they leave the toilet seat up or down, or the toilet paper's the wrong way, once again, like a water fountain, guys. Like, once again, one of those things, you can fight on that, or the towel's on the floor, or who washed the clothes, who walked the dog. Like, you still love this person no matter what. Like, as the church, we've got to love each other like Jesus does no matter what. We've got to come together and be united, because when we are united, we'll see Jesus like never before. If you think, and we know that individually, Jesus has completely changed our life, took us from death to life. He power washes our soul. He makes us a new creation. Like, we have hope in him. Imagine what happens when a lot of people get around some hope. That's how revolutions are started. Around some hope, right? We just celebrated that. 1776, some people gathered around some hope from stepping out of the king's authority to have freedom to worship in houses and freedom to make this nation and chart what they were called to do. I wonder if the church was in freedom in Christ and what we've been made to be and called to be unified in what we're called to do, the difference we can make. If we think we're having an impact now, oh my goodness, if we all got together, what could happen? How much of Jesus could we see? How much of Jesus could we experience? How much of Jesus could we share? Because my cup being full can only do so much when it's poured out. But my cup with your cup and your cup and your cup and your cup, your cup, your cup, your cup, and your cup, and your cup, and your cup, and everybody's cup online. Your and my cup coming together, imagine what we can do with that. We get to achieve the fullness of Christ. And so how do we do that? Well, God gives his gifts to the church, right? Like, he gives it to one another to get here. Like, we always rally around this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. In verse 11 and 12, verse 12 says, to equip the people for the works of service so that the body of Christ is built up. So here's the thing. If you came here to watch me work today, I'm sorry. I'm going to let you down because that's not why you're here. Now, if you know me, that's really humbling for me to say because your boy don't mind working hard. Like, you can't tell it from the waistline. He's trying. But your boy is trying. I love working hard. Like, it's just something that gets me excited. Like, I get go-go juice. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm fired up. We got a task to undertake. Like, we're going to work hard. I'm going to roll my sleeves up. I may not be the best at it, but I promise you, you ain't going to outwork me. Like, that's just who I am. I love working. But what if today you weren't here to come watch me work or come watch the worship team work or come watch people work? What if today it was about you being built up so that both of us together can be encouraged and go out and work together in the world? Go out and be unified in the world to change the world together. What if together we could do that? Unified, we can. Divided, we never can. Divided, it's going to be about what this person did and what that person did and what that person didn't do and what this person didn't do and how that sign looked one way and that song sounded one way and that sounded this way. But unified, I'm not here for you to watch me to work on Sundays. I'm here to tell you I'm a work in progress. God's already working on me, and I'm praying and believing he's working on you. So if you're up here to watch me work, it doesn't happen. My calling is to equip you. My calling is to encourage you. Your calling in coming together here, us unified, is to build one another up to go change the world with the hope of the gospel through the love of Jesus Christ together. The very creator of the universe works through us. Like, if that doesn't get excitement in your veins, like, the very creator of the universe made us so that we can show love to people who are searching for it. How many people sell snake oil on TV and talk about a 12-step process and talk about this cream or this age-defying cream? Like, does this thing, right? Or this pill is the magic pill. We don't have a magic pill. We have the answer. We have the truth. And we get to share it with the world. And God, in his infinite grace and mercy, chose us to be able to do it. But instead, tomorrow, it's going to be Monday. Here we go again. I got to deal with those people. Here we go. I want to go to my cubicle. I'm just going to get through the day. That's all I'm looking to do, right? And this week, that happened on Thursday as well. Most of us had Wednesday off. And on Thursday, you had two Saturdays and a Wednesday and a Saturday. But on Thursday, you had to go back and have another Monday. It was just one of those things, right? Like, we can get stuck in that and forget that we're called to be unified. Church, we've got to be unified. What I'm thankful for here at the Vine Church is there are people that are willing to rally around being unified. Maybe you're sitting at home and you don't think that you have a purpose and a part inside of the Vine. Come find out. You'll be surprised how you can come be unified with us, because when we're unified, you're going to experience Jesus like never before. I'm going to get to experience like Jesus like never before. By you not being here, you're actually robbing me, and I'm robbing you of experiencing Jesus the way it's supposed to be. What if we looked at that way? What if we went out into the world and said, if this person's not with me on Sunday, if this person's not with me on Thursday, if this person isn't with me to show them who Jesus is, we're robbing each other of who Jesus is even more. We're robbing each other of the hope of the gospel. We're not being loved to one another. What if we rallied around that? How different would our community look? How different would our families look? How different would the world look? Told y'all, God, y'all gotta live faster. Here we go. We are all parts of one body. Each just one as important as the other. Dwight L. Moody. Have you ever heard of, how many of you have heard of Dwight L. Moody? D.L. Moody, yeah. 1800s, American evangelist. He says this, and this is what I want to remind us, church, and then I'll get to the point and we'll rally around here at the end. I'm getting myself fired up here. I don't know if y'all are, but I'm getting excited today. I don't know about y'all. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to be unified. Team, we're going to go get it. We can do this thing. Dwight L. Moody says this. You may find hundreds of fault finders among professed Christians, but all of their criticism will not lead to one solitary soul coming to Christ. Listen one more time and tell me where we are as a church. you may find hundreds of fault finders among professed Christians, but all their criticism will not lead to one solitary soul coming to Christ. The world knows what it means to be divided. They know it. The world knows what it means about picking sides. And as fun as the fight is at the lunchroom, somebody's got to clean it up. Somebody's got to clean it up. And when we do it with our life, when we try to do it by ourselves and we don't have people to help clean it up, oh my goodness, because Jesus is going to clean it up, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to clean it up if you're going to go there, but won't open that one. For real, how many of us in the church can find fault with the church down the road? I raise my hand first. It's easy for me to do that. For real, for real. But Jesus is reminding me, Tyler, it's not your job to find fault with the church down the road. It's just your job to be love to them. Love them like I loved you. Going on. Second point. Last point. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. We've actually touched on it. Our unity brings blessing. Our unity brings blessing. Maybe you could even phrase it this way. Where there is no unity, there will be no blessing. Where there is no unity, there will be no blessing. Married couples, am I right? There's no unity, there'll be no blessing. Is it good to live in a house when you're fighting with each other all the time? Do you enjoy that? It's hard to have blessing when you're not unified. It's really hard to have. Imagine your kids. Imagine what they're walking through with that too. So, you know, me and my 15 married, I've not been married, y'all. Y'all know that. But for real. Like, imagine that. Where there's no unity, there's no blessing. Which, by the way, side note, if you're a married couple, let me remind you this, how Paul started this. If you're ever fighting, read Ephesians 4 together, and just remember, you don't have to get the last word, and I promise you, life will be so much better. Stop trying to be the last word and get the last word. Just go be the love of Jesus to each other and watch how it completely changes yourself, your community, your world, your work, and everything around you. There we go. It's a marriage tip for the day. So, continuing on, our unity brings blessing. Where there is no unity, there is no blessing. What does Paul say in Ephesians 4, verse 14 through 16? And we'll be right there at the end here. Then we will no longer be infants. This is where I was this week, guys. We'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. We all want a quick fix, right? So you mean I can lose that much weight in 60 days? Wow, like I'm in, right? I'm in, sign me up. If I double up on it, can I do it in 30? Like, is that happen? So I just got to take 5 pills a day, that's it. And then just it all goes away and I've got like 12-pack abs and I'm all jacked, right? That's all I got to do, right? The world's the same way and hearing the hope of Jesus. It's the same way. It hears it, and it's pulled by every cunning scheme and deceitfulness because we can't get it together as a church. Imagine, like, think of it as a boat on the ocean. Like, those big old tankers that, like, carry all the freight in and out, like, they don't get tossed by the waves too much, right? But, like, if I went out there with my little rowboat in the middle of the ocean, like, individually, I'm probably not going to do a lot of difference. I'm going to be on the news, that's for sure. There'll be a local idiot goes out on the ocean with his rowboat, right? But like as the church together, what if we came together? We're like that cargo ship. When we're rallied around the gospel and the world sees the strength and the hope that is Jesus coming together, the difference we can make. We're not thrown by the waves of the world. We're not thrown by the circumstance of the world. We're not thrown around by everything that's happening around us. We get to stay the course unified. But you let one thing break on that boat, and how strong is it? Hashtag Titanic. Like, you have one thing, right? One thing. As I just ate that whole thing as a cough drop, excuse me, because I'm about to cough like crazy. You let one thing happen with that boat, how different would it be? One chink in the armor. That's how important it is to be unified. Going on. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Praise God for ligaments. You think ligaments ain't important? Man, you mess up your knee, your ankle, you mess something up, you find out. You mess up your hand or something, you get a ligament all jacked. Shoulder? Wow, Jesus. You get that messed up, them ligaments will tear you up. Ligaments, they're important. But when they're joined together, they grow and build itself up in what? Love. And then the last part, as each part does its work. You know, Jesus is calling us to grow up together in his love. That's the hardest thing sometimes. Especially when I know, like, that I'm secure. Like, it's really easy for me to, if I'm secure, to judge you for not being secure, right? Like, have you ever got out of debt? Like, if anybody's ever been in debt, have you ever got out of debt and then you see somebody else in debt? Like, you always just go after them, right? Like, sometimes you love them, but if you've never been in debt or you've never struggled with that, maybe your compassion for them isn't as strong as it needs to be, right? Paint the picture another way. Maybe you know someone who's been in prison and you haven't. Your compassion for them is different, right? It changes. Sometimes we judge them for going to prison. Well, you done been four times, like something's wrong with you, right? I don't see where Jesus calls us to do that. He just calls us to love everybody right where they are. And when we do that, we change the world. But here's the thing, each part has to do its work. So I told you, today, if you're coming here to watch me do work, it's just not going to happen, because what's going to happen when you do that is, that's just pointless banter. I could have recorded this on a podcast and it would have done no difference and made no difference in any of our lives. We would have just looked back at it for posterity's sake, right? But if we come together and each part of us does its work and we're built up in love, we'll completely change the world. Because here's what will happen if you don't. Every week we have generous sowers here at the Vine. It's crazy. It's crazy awesome. We have folks who get here early in the morning. This stage, actually, everything moves. Everything you can see on this camera and around moves. Everything goes in and out of here. This becomes a gym, a sweaty, smelly gym at the end of this thing. But it smells like fresh linen right now. It smells so wonderful because people are here so early in the morning making fresh-baked, hot-and-now Krispy Kreme donuts. have those things. Praise Jesus and amen. What will happen is, if we just come here to watch others do the work and we don't play our part, even throughout the week, it's not just about Sunday. This is a culmination of Monday through Saturday. It's a culmination saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you just did, but I'm in eager anticipation and expectation of what you're about to do this week as you bring us back here next week. Each and every week when we come here, people are coming together, joined together. And here's the difference is, if you come every week and you just get filled up by the word and you do nothing about it, have you ever just felt that in your life? Whether you've been with Jesus 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 years, don't believe he is who he says he is, whatever it is, wherever you are, like, have you ever just been filled up with something so much and you know you're called to do it and, like, it just gets you and you just keep going and going and going, but you just sit still? How does that make you feel? Like a 2-year-old on sugar, right? Like, all of a sudden, like, you just want a Capri Sun and you've got 10 Capri Suns built up. And have you ever seen a 2-year-old on 10 Capri Suns? Oh my goodness, it's crazy. They go bounce off the walls, right? Well, what ends up happening is you start comparing when it's that. Because of your disobedience, you'll start taking it out on everybody else around you. It's their fault we're this way. It's their fault that they're not moving. And it starts, the little faults will build up. Hey, I'm guilty of it, but I also have been a victim of it. Where all of a sudden, you know, well, the expectation was this, and we'll start placing expectations on others that we don't place on ourselves, and then we'll just start dumping more and more on that other person, and we can't understand why they become more and more distant and distant. That's what the church, guys, that's what we've done as a church, is we've just dumped more and more on the world with everything they should do and how they should change their behavior and how they could do this and how they could do that and how they could go to a certain place on Saturday night, how they could go to a certain place on Friday night, and what time church service needs to be on Sunday and what time it doesn't need to be on Sunday. Like, we've dumped all of that expectation on the world and dumped none of Jesus. And where we can get stuck is when we do that inside the church and we don't play our part, we'll start blaming the person with the microphone and the person singing. Because it's their fault we're not growing. It's their fault we're not where we're supposed to be. It's their fault that I'm not who I'm supposed to be in the Lord. Anybody been there? I've been there. I struggle with that sometimes. A lot of times. Especially when I'm not being obedient in something. Waistline. I'm trying, y'all. Like, when I'm not being obedient in something, I feel that, and I'll project it. I'll project it. But when I have the love of Jesus, it's hard to do that. Sometimes I don't have the love of Jesus.
But it's hard to do that. So I wonder if that's kind of where we are. On this, we're about to end up here in John 13. And I'm just going to say it this way. Guys, I'm thankful for everybody who's here week in and week out. I'm thankful for the generous sowers of this church. I'm thankful for how we dive into God's word, because you know what? You know, I'm one of those people, I'll tell you how God's changing me, is, and folks, you know, it's really close. Like this thing called tongues, when people speak in tongues, you know, that can be a crazy thing we hear, right? Like that gets really blown up in Christian world. And you can have where you're there, and you can hear about prayer languages. You can hear about all these gifts. And Paul talks about gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 when he's writing to those churches as well, the different gifting inside the church. And how God's growing me, as he said, it's in my word. And so I want to learn about it more. And here's what I want to tell you. If it's in this book, it's in this book, it's in this Bible, I want to know about it. Because God didn't make me to limp around the rest of my life, unpower-filled, a victim. He made me to walk around with the power of the Holy Spirit by Christ Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, having the hope that only he could give. He made me not to be dead. He made me to be alive. And if it's in this book, man, I want to learn about it, and I want to grow from it, and I want to share it, and I want you to share it with me. Because when we share it together, all of a sudden we change the world. And yet so many times we get stuck in that, trying to be uniform. And I just want to tell you this, and this is where I'm going to shock you, and then we're going to get to John. Hopefully, if I hadn't shocked you already, saying, loud Jesus, Tyler, it's late. I know, I promise, I'll get you out before the wage line's done. I promise you, it'll be good times. Inside of that, Jesus showed me this week when I said I want to know about it in this book. Does anybody remember the Garden of Eden? We were all there, right? The Garden of Eden growing up. We've always heard it. Maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you know what's happening. But there were two trees, right? There was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, which was the knowledge of what? Good and evil, right? Good and evil. So there are two trees. Over here is good and evil. Over here is the tree of life. Which one did Adam and Eve eat of? The knowledge of good and evil, right? Here's where I'm going to shock you. God never chose you to choose between what's right and wrong. He never made you to choose between what's right and wrong. The reason they were disobedient in choosing what's right and wrong is he always made you to choose between life and death. It was never about who's right. It was never about who's wrong. It's always been about life. It's always been about him being the only way to life. And you either choose death or life. And the way that we show life to the world is how we love them. The way that we show death to the world is how we hate them. Because the way we show death to the world is always worrying about who is right and who is wrong. And in the end, when I'm 80 years old and I'm sitting there, and hopefully with my 12 million grandkids, whatever that is, when I have grandkids and I'm sitting there and I'm looking back at the pictures, it didn't matter who was right or wrong. It doesn't matter, church. It matters about life and death, though. Eternity is at stake. God made you to choose between life and death, and he loved us so much, he made a way to choose between life and death. He made a way for us to have life through Christ Jesus. Not about who's right and who's wrong. Not about the 12-step program. Not about what's happening. He made a way for us to choose life. And so as I'm telling you, Jesus is working on me. It reminded me of this. I'm going to give you John 13, 34, 35. We'll dive into that more. If we had a night service, man, we'd be tearing this up tonight. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. If you love one another. Go ye therefore, making disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and son. So wait, how do they know I'm the disciple? By how I love. Not by who's right or wrong. That 40-page email was about who's right or wrong. It wasn't about who's right or wrong. It's about life and death. Life and death. Life and death. And you know what the world is weary, they're growing weary of? Watch the next award show, and who does everybody thank? If it wasn't by the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. And I love that people use a platform for that. But the world has heard that for a long time. They're waiting for some people that come together unified to act on it. And when we act on it, it's different than calling the play in the huddle and then going out and executing the play. It's completely different. That's what faith and showing the world love is all about. It's one thing for us to come here on Sunday and get in a little holy huddle and talk about how great love is and how awesome love is and how great Jesus is. And then tomorrow morning, we go out. Man, I'm just tore up from the floor up. I got all kind of crazy stuff going on. Like, this is just crazy. The world hates me and everything's burning. I get there. I ain't gonna lie to you. I get there sometimes. Like, everything's against me. And the world's like, man, I feel like everything's against me too. Yeah, let's go do that. And then we forget that we're called to be love. We're called to be love. So the world will know that we're disciples by how we love. Last thing here. Billy Graham. Anybody ever heard of him? I mean, I think most people have, whether you know Jesus or not. Billy Graham, who passed away this year, said this thing about this love. And it's one of the things he got quoted on the most, and I love it. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. The Holy Spirit will convict you where you're disobedient. He will. The Holy Spirit will do that. It's God's job to judge you. He has to judge us because we were idiots and chose between right or wrong instead of life or death. He has to judge us there. Made the wrong decision. But it's my job to love. What is it that Jesus always talked about? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Here's the thing. I wonder if church, as we get ready to close up here, I wonder if we understood it isn't about Twitter fights or hashtags, Facebook wars, or how loud we can shout, or how great our email debate can be, and how great our doctrine can be, and how awesome, and how our 12-point sermons every week, or our 20-point sermon sometimes as I get to be. I wonder if we stop doing that and we understand that it's about the blood of Jesus. It's about life or death. And we show that to the world with love. And if we kept it that simple, I wonder how many people would come to the love and hope that is Jesus. Instead of, well, once you get this, here's your list of 18 things to do. I wonder if we stopped. Stop worrying about the right or wrong. It doesn't matter. It's about death or life. Death or life. Jesus prayed for unity as believers as we got ready at the end. As he was ready to go to the cross in John 17, the last thing he prayed for was unity among his believers. I wonder if we'd be unified. Hey, what if tomorrow morning we're the answer to that prayer? What if we could be that? Guess what? We can be. What if every time that person goes to Aldi after me and they look at this quarter, and they see E Pluribus Unum, I wonder if they thought about the love of Jesus more than anything else. Than the parking spot they got, how crazy how crazy life they have to live after this, how crazy it was, the garbage is in the car. What if they looked at this and they thought, man, that church down the road, they do some things. But they sure are united. They got a lot of different people, but they're united around something. They sure do love me. Even though I talk trash about them all the time, they sure do love me. Even though I don't believe what they believe, they sure do love me. They still walk with me through stuff, and man, that's just crazy. I wonder if we could be that answer as unified as a church. Will you do that with me this week? Will you join me? Because I need you to do it. I can't do it by myself. I need you to walk with me, because as I take that step and you take that step with me, man, we're stronger together. And man, we can make such a difference. Will you join me in doing that? So as we get ready to worship here in this last song, I just want you to think about this. E pluribus unum. E pluribus unum. And it might be unum. Look it up. I'm my Latin coach. Out of many, one. Wonder if we could be one love. Out of many people, the love of Jesus Christ could be shown to the world. So as everybody stands for this last song, we're going to pray, and then we're just going to let Jesus do what only he can do. So if everybody will stand, we'll get ready for this last song, and we'll pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to lift your name high. Thank you for your love. In our craziness and everything we do, dear God, thank you for loving us in spite of us. Thank you for being your vessel to the world, dear Lord, and how we love. You have given us peace and grace and mercy beyond understanding. And because of you, we get to experience life, not death. It isn't about who's right and who's wrong, Jesus. You have made us to be you to the world and how we love. And so today, Jesus, we want to be unified as one. Unified as one. We want to be unified and lifted your name high. Give us the strength, the boldness, and the faith to do that. And in this last song, Jesus, whatever it is you would have for us, let our hearts be open to do it. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. As we close out today, I just wanted to read something to you from 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to think about this. As we've been talking about this thing called one, I'm going to pull it up here. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21 and 22, and it says this. We're talking about out of many one. And I know in this house is awesome because I've got to know most of the people here, and haven't had a chance to meet you all online, so I'd love to meet you. But here's what I want to tell you. Out of many one. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam, all die. God didn't choose right or wrong. He never made us to choose right or wrong. Death or life. All of us, out of Adam, die. So in Christ, we will all be made alive. So we have a choice to choose between death or life because we're born into death. And Adam, out of many one, all of us are in sin. And the wages of that sin is death. But you see, the gift of God is eternal life, and His gift is Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus came so that we could have life. That we could have life. And it's not a 12-step program. It's not a, we've got to get it together. We've got to read the Bible for a year. We've got to pray a certain way. We've got to speak a certain way, have a certain version. We've got to do so many works. We've got to achieve a higher level. It's nothing like that. See, Jesus came and did all the work. He came and did all the work. He lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the death that all of us deserved for our sins. But He loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could experience heaven now. We could experience life on earth now. No longer are we dead. We are alive in and through Christ. And so it's really simple. Have you chosen death or life? With every head bowed and every eye closed, that's kind of where we are at this moment. This whole thing has been landed that out of many one, out of Adam, we are all destined to die because of our sins, because of what happened in the garden. But also, life, resurrection of the dead came through one man, and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth as God's only Son. He lived the life that we couldn't live, but died the death that we deserved on the cross for our sins. He loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. So we're about to say this prayer, and it's not the words of this prayer, but the faith that comes through it. Because here we are, in this moment, we can choose between death and life. Not right and wrong, death and life. Death and life. And so if you are ready to make that choice today, and you are ready to choose life, I'm going to ask everyone in this house to pray after me, because we pray unified. No one prays alone in this house. So repeat the words of this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from You. I believe my sins, wages are death. I believe You lived the life that I couldn't live, died the death that I deserve, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow You step by step, the best way I know how, the rest of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe this is the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. Maybe it's the first time you can say by faith that you have received life. And if that's you, I'm going to count to three. There's going to be something pop up on your screen. There's going to be a way that you can comment on Facebook. You can let us know. You can text us at 864-580-6698. Get with us at hello@thevine.tv. Whatever that is, when I count to three, you move. If you chose life today, now is your opportunity. So one, two, three. If that's the first time, by faith, you can say that you've received the gift that is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If that's you, don't let today go by. We have people who want to celebrate you, who want to walk step by step with this through you, who want to help you, who want to be unified as one body in Christ together with you. So if that's you, act today. Do not be afraid to move. And for everybody else, we're about to pray Maybe you're watching online and you just need somebody to pray with you. We have a great team that wants to pray with you. At prayer@thevine.tv, we'd love just to pray with you. So as we have closing prayer here and we get ready to come back here next week, we always say nobody prays alone, so we're going to have everybody link up together. Got a strong crew here. Link up together, and with every head bowed, we're going to pray. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that you made a way that we can have life and that we can choose between death and life. We can squabble over right and wrong our entire existence on this earth, but it's more about that. It's about choosing between death and life. Jesus, thank you for loving us first. Please let us go out this week and be unified together in the hope that is only found in you, and the way that we show that is through love. Jesus, remind me it's not my job to judge. It's not my job to convict. It's my job to love. So let me be your love. Let us be your love throughout the rest of this week. We love you, Lord. We can't wait to come back here next week and lift your name on high and make your name more famous and be unified, indivisible, together as one. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you're joining us, come back next week. We're going to wrap up our series with Liberty and Justice for All. We can't wait to see you. Come hang out with us.